You already learned that.
Tamar Achos on a sparrow.
Okay, there's two lines. We already learned. What do we have?
Yeah,
that was earlier. No, that's that.
But on the bottom, Alma.
Some on the bottom.
Okay.
It says that. Telecho Alma.
Right.
It says when Baspara found Moshe Rabbeinu in the basket, so she tried to have him. She tried to give him to the Noshim HaMitzriyos to nurse, and he didn't want to. So that's what the Gemara says. Pesha. So the Dabarim Ashchina, the Baruch Shalom, didn't want that he should nurse from the Mitzriyos. Yeah, Bisman Azeh. It says in Shulchan Aruch, there are more quotes from the Hagos Ashri and Avodah Zarah and Masechus Avodah Zarah. That if the mother of the Jewish baby is not feeling well, she's not able to nurse her baby, she has to get a nachris to nurse the baby, she should try to ask the nachris not to eat macholos asuris, because whatever the mother eats when she's nursing the baby goes into the milk. That's what Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Yuma, that the milk is going to have that flavor of whatever the mother eats, and the baby is going to be imbibing macholos asuris. So in the Kaidah Matan Torah, apparently, what are you worried about eating macholos asuris? So it's only pesa asur the dabere mashchina. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to become a Navi, so the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want. But after Matan Torah, it does not only apply to one who's going to turn out to be a Navi. Any Jewish baby is a baby who's going to be muzra macholos asuris. So you don't want him to have macholos asuris. So the baby didn't want to nurse by the Noshim HaMitzriyos. So Miriam was standing on the side, so she asked Bas Parah, should I go get you a Yiddish woman? So it says, Vatelecho Alma. Alma means a young girl. She was a very young girl. Amar Ablazar Malamit Shahocha Bezrizis Kalma. She ran quickly, like a young girl. She was very young, so she ran quickly. Abshumo Banachmeni Amar, Ho Alma means Sheherlima Ez Dvareho. She kept everything a deep, dark secret. She didn't tell Bas Parah that this is the mother of the baby. And Bas Parah is paying the mother money to nurse her own baby. That's what the Gemara is going to point out. And it seems that she didn't tell the mother either the whole background. We're going to see the next daf on Yud Gimel and Aleph. She didn't tell anybody what she was doing.
The word
Malam. Right, La'alim. She kept everything a deep, dark secret. So then Bas Parah said to the mother, she says, take the baby and do me a favor and nurse the baby for me. She tells Yocheved, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, and I'll pay you. Amar Rab Chama Rab Chanina, she used such a Lashon. She probably didn't speak Lashon Kodesh. She spoke Mitzri language. But the Lashon Hei Lichi is a play on words, a pun. It's, the Gemara understands that whatever language she was speaking, she said such a Lashon, Misnaba Veni Ades Ma'an Misnaba. She was saying a lashon that she herself didn't realize what she was saying. Hey lichi, ho shelichi, take your baby. The way she said it, hey lichi, take your baby. She didn't realize that this was the mother of the baby. And I will pay you for nursing the baby. So the Gemara says she didn't realize she's paying the mother. The mother hid the baby in the basket. She didn't know me a day if she'll ever get back her baby. Yocheved does not, she'll ever see Moshe Rabbeinu again. So the baby was adopted by Bas Parah, and then the mother got back her Aveda. They saw to it that Yocheved got back her little baby Moshe. They pay the mother money. Bas Parah is paying her Yocheved money to nurse her own baby. As it turns out. Then it says, Vatikach Mirim, it says after Kriyas Yamsuf. Many years later, it says after Kriyas Yamsuf, Vatikem Hirim Hanavi Achos Aharnes Atoif Biyada, and she just like the men sang Oz Yashir, so the women sang separately. Men sang separately, and the women sang separately. So why she described Vatikach Mirim Hanavi Achos Sahara? She was Achos Moshe. It's only half of the description. Why is it only Vatikach Achos Sahara? Fregma Achos Sahara V'lo Achos Moshe. She had two brothers, and Moshe Rabbeinu was more prominent than Aaron. What kind of a lashon is that? Amar Rav, Amar Rav, Amar Rav. Another version has his Amar Rav, Rav Nachman said the name of Avraham. Rav Nachman said someone said the name of Avraham. And Lamed, she was saying as Yashir ben Avua, Beruch HaKadosh. So you give her credentials. When did she become a Neviah? At what age did she become a Neviah? She already said a Nevuah before she was a sister of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Haidim before Moshe Rabbeinu was born. She and Aaron were born already. Moshe was not even born yet. So the Pasuk said, "Vatikach Miriam haNeviah achos Aaron." She was already a Neviah when she didn't yet have Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah. I think the Pasuk says they sang separately. The men sat separately and the women sang separately.
They were that far apart, no, they heard.
There was never a problem.
Maybe it's a group.
They were so holy that Kodesha wouldn't have made it.
Could be. I don't know.
How old was Miriam? How much older than Moshe?
The Pasuk says, what, 3 years? 5 years? 3 years older. And Aaron was
3 years older than Moshe. Aaron was
3 years
older than Moshe. Miriam was
2 years
older than him.
So she was 5 years older than Moshe. She was 5 years old. So the Gemara says, "Malamet shehoisa misnabe kishia achos Aaron." She had a nevuah before Moshe Rabbeinu was born. What was her nevuah? V'yomeres, and she used to say, "Asida imi shetela ben shemashias Yisrael." She said she has a nevuah at the age of 4 or 5. She has a nevuah. Her mother's going to give birth to a baby. Even Shinoilad Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the smaller kalabais kula oir. The whole house lit up with light. Omen avio and ashok al roisha. So the father, Amram, kissed his daughter on the head. Omalot biti, this kaimon nevuasach. Your prophecy became fulfilled. So the daughter told the father the prophecy. The baby was born, the house lit up, so he kissed his daughter. Then the story continues. It's a little bit strange, the next line. Then after 3 months of holding the baby at home, they were afraid the Mitzrim were going to take the baby, confiscate the baby and kill him. When they threw the baby in the basket, so the way it says in our Gemara, the father, the Tavcha al Rosha, he hit her on the head. He slapped her on the face. So a strange Gemara. She told the father in Nevuah, and then the house lit up when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And the father said, "This kaim of nevuah." So he sees everything is going as the nevuah was. Then things went bad. So he decided that nevuah is not ois gehalten. Why? So the Marsha quotes that others have a different girsa, not omad aviha, but om da'ima v'tavchal roisha. She never told the mother the nevuah. When a person has a nevuah, you're only supposed to deliver the nevuah to the one to whom it's relevant. So the father had divorced the mother, that's what we saw before, and all the Jews divorced their wives following Amram. He was the leader, the Gemara had the Losh, and he was the Gadol Hador. Gadol Hador means they're going to follow what he does. And he had the policy, what should we have, more children? The Mitzrim should have more babies to kill. It doesn't make any sense. Let's get divorced, we won't have any more children. So she told the father in Nevuah, "You're wrong, I was told in Nevuah, my mother is going to be married to you and she's going to have a baby who's going to be Mashiach Yisrael." So he married her back again. But she never told the Nevuah. That's how the Mashiach suggests. She never told the Nevuah to anybody else because it wasn't relevant for them. And Nevuah is supposed to be a private thing. So the mother hadn't heard the Nevuah. Mother just knew. The father remarried her. She didn't know Meikorah Makasava, Mazoif Makasava. So the mother is the one who slapped her on the face. It's also not always God. Because I said, Hech Nevuah
Sech. Yeah, she didn't hear.
The Mashal learns the father knew that it was a Nevuah because she told him the whole story. The mother, she told the half a story because it wasn't really her Isaac. She wanted the father to remarry the mother. Otherwise, he thinks that the other Girsa reads better than the Gemara, that the father thought it was correct and the mother thought it wasn't. But to say the father changed his mind, he finds that more difficult. So that's what. She was Miriam Hanavi, Achos Aharon. Before Moshe Rabbeinu was born, she was already a Neviah. And that's why the Pasuk says, when the mother put the baby in the basket in the yard, in the Tevas Gaima, the sister was waiting on the side to see what the end of the story is going to be. What do you mean? What's going to be the end? She wanted to know also. She had a Nevuah. She knew it was a Nevuah at the age of 4 or 5. She knew it was a Nevuah. She wanted to see Leida Maya Hey Besoif Nuvasa. She herself wanted to know what's the end of the story of the Nevuah. Yeah. These are all famous midrashim. Then the Gemara continues. The Mishnah, this is all commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, first there was a Mishnah on Daf Ches on the base. The Midrash Adamodid Bo Modid Din Lo. People are punished and rewarded, Midr Keneged Midr. So the Mishnah talks about that. We're learning Maseches Sota. We forgot already how we got involved there. We're learning Maseches Sota. So the Mishnah on Ches on the base said that we treat the Sota on the base on Migdash, Midr Keneged Midr, the way she probably ensnared, the way she probably entrapped and enticed the man with whom she was having the affair. She was Mazana with someone. So the Mishnah says, all of the punishments that she's going to suffer are going to be Midr Keneged Midr. So then the Mishnah gives a long arichas on Tesa Beis about different things Midr Keneged Midr. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah has the last two Midr Keneged Midrs, one was about Miriam, that because she was waiting Shoachas for a short period of time to see what's going to be with Moshe Rabbeinu in the basket. That's why Lefikach Nesak for Lo Yisrael Zayin Yomim Bamidbar. When she became a Mitzaraz, everybody waited for her. So then the last two in the Mishnah. So that's what the Gemara gave a whole discussion about Moshe Rabbeinu in the basket and Miriam. Then the last two mentioned in the Mishnah that the Gemara is going to elaborate on now till the end of the Perek are about Yosef. That Yosef was Mechabed the father very much when Yaakov Avinu died in Mitzrayim. So Yosef was in charge of the Levaya. Yosef saw to it, all the brothers went also, the Mitzrayim went also, but Yosef was in charge of the whole Levaya. So that's why Midi Keneged Midi, years later, at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, so Moshe Rabbeinu was supervising the Kvura of Yosef Atzadik. And because Moshe Rabbeinu was also rewarded Midi Keneged Midi, because he was Metapel in the Kvura of Yosef Atzadik, everybody was busy taking business Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was busy being metapel in the Levaya of Yosef, so he was rewarded midah keneged midah that the Rebbeinu Shalom took care of his kvura. The pasuk says vayikvar osa bagai that the Rebbeinu Shalom took care of his kvura. Then the Mishnah ends off, and it's not only Moshe Rabbeinu; it's kol tzaddikim. The Rebbeinu Shalom somehow rewards all the tzaddikim, and he helps out of the Levaya also. But in the Chumash, it only says Moshe Rabbeinu's funeral stay. Kvura was taken care of by the Rebbeinu Shalom. So that's what the Gemara is going to comment now on Yosef. On the second wide line from the top on the Gemara is going to discuss that too. So the Gemara has Yosef Zocha, that Yosef was metapel in the Kvura of the father. Frek the Gemara, first the Gemara has a comment. It says going from Mitzrayim Teretz Yisrael to bury Yaakov Avinu, it says that all of the dignitaries, all the officers of the members of the cabinet, Para didn't go, but all the big shots, the politicians from Mitzrayim went along with Yosef, and the brothers went along also. Coming back, they're listed in a different order. It says coming back Yosef and the brothers came back, and all the politicians and all the dignitaries from Egypt came. So the Gemara wants to know, why is the Seder changed? Maishna me'ikara dichsiv, on the way going to Eretz Yisrael, to the Gvur, it says, Vayal, Aliyah means when you go from Chutz Lord to Eretz Yisrael. And Vayerid is faket, when you go from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Lord, that's called Yiridah. Because the Gemara says in Kiddush, and Eretz Yisrael gevoy mekol ha'aratzais, so that's why that's called Aliyah, and that's called Yiridah. So the Gemara wants to know, why is the Seder of the people's names changed? Maishna me'ikara, when they're going to Eretz Yisrael dichsiv, all the dignitaries from the government went, and the next pasuk says and the family went along also. So the dignitaries from Egypt are mentioned before the family members. After the funeral is all taken care of, and the Moras HaMachpelah, and they're going back to Chutz Lord, going back to Mitzrayim, it says Vayashi Yosef Mitzrayim Hu Ve'echov, and only afterwards it says V'chol Ha'olam Ita Likbar Asaviv. All the dignitaries I mentioned last. How come the Seder HaDvarim has changed? So the Gemara says, originally on the way going to Eretz Yisrael, so the Egyptian dignitaries did not think that they have to be so mechabed Yosef's family. Yosef, okay, was the prime minister, but the brothers, they're nobody special, they're the brothers of the prime minister. But after they went to Eretz Yisrael, they saw such a bekavadik alavaya, all the kings and all the representatives of all the governments there, they all came to participate in the Levaya. So then the dignitaries of Egypt learned that they have to have more Darach Eretz for Yosef's brothers. So on the way going back to Mitzrayim, they were mechabed the brothers, they should go first. And the dignitaries of Egypt went last. That's what the Gemara answers. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, b'tchila ad shalom ro b'chvodim shal Yisrael, before they realized how much kovod all the dignitaries in Eretz Yisrael gave to the family, anogabem kovod. The Mitzrayim didn't give so much kovod to the Achi Yosef. However, l'besof, after the whole kvura was all over, shiro b'chvodim, they saw how much kovod was given to the Achi Yosef, then the Egyptians were anogabem kovod. Where do you see in the Chumash that they saw, that the Mitzrayim saw that there was a lot of kovod? They came to Eretz Yisrael, they gave him to a Goren Ha'otod. Otod means thorn bush. A Goren
is a granary.
So I understand a granary where you pile up grain. What do you have? A special place where you pile up thorns. Who's going to use the thorns? It doesn't make sense. How can there be a place that's a Goren Ha'otod? A place with Chigoren Yeshla La'otod. Does any normal person have a storage house where he keeps Atodim? Where he keeps thorns? So the Gemara interprets that's not what it means. Amar Rabba Bo Malam Shehiki Fuhu Ksorim La'aron Shal Yankiv Chigoren Zeh Shemakifin La'otod. Usually the minig used to be when you have a Goren, so you don't want everybody to come nearby, so you plant thorn bushes around, so you have an empty space in the middle, a bit circular area or rectangular area, and instead of putting up big fences to separate, so you put to protect the inside area, so you put otot around it. So when the Oren of Yankov was brought to Eretz Yisrael to bury him, so the tradition has it that he kifuhu all the different governments in Eretz Yisrael. Sorim, they put all of their crowns out of kovod to Yankov Avinu, to put all their crowns around the Oren of Yankov Avinu. So when the Mitzrayim saw that, they were giving so much kovod, all the kings came, and each king put his crown over there. So then they realized this is quite a choshev and mishpacha. So then the Gemara said, who was it? Who were all the crowns? How many crowns were there? So the Gemara said, Shebo'u b'nei Esav b'nei Yishmael b'nei Keturah. They were all cousins. They were all Esav was Yaakov Avinu's brother, and Bnei Yishmael and Keturah. Okay, they were all relatives of the Jewish people. So they all came, and they all gave kovod. So then the Gemara has a dig. The Gemara doesn't want to say simply that they gave kovod. So the Gemara says, Tana, there's a price that has a negative comment. L'chatchila they came kulam la'mochama bo. First they came to fight with the family that they want to bury Yankov Avinu Moris HaMachpelah. So they're all mishpacha. So they say, are you entitled to Moris HaMachpelah? Was a special place. And he was going to say that Adam Rishon is buried there, and Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu. So Yankov is the only one who has a right to be buried. Yankov and his wife Leah have a right to be buried. What about us? We're all mishpacha also. So maybe we should have one kever already. There were only 8 kvarim there. So one kever was already used up for Leah. Leah had died previously. So there's one more kever left. So why should the family use it for Yankov Avinu? Maybe one of the others should use it. So the Brisa says, Tana, the Brisa has a tradition, Kulam Lamachombo. They all came to oppose the fact that they want to bury Yankov Avinu, Maris HaMachpelah. But then, Kim Shiro Kiswa Shal Yosef, Toli Barana Shal Yankov. Yosef had a crown also. He wasn't the king of Egypt, but he was the prime minister. So he put his crown on his father's orain. So they realized that this is done with the approval of the Egyptian government, not Stam. So then they all decided they were all going to give kavod. Not l'kulam kisrei, but l'om barbanu shal yankiv. So they all put their crown. So in addition to the crown of Yosef, there were another 35 crowns altogether. 35 and 1 is 36. Tana, the Brisa says, shloshem v'shishu ksorim nitla barbanu shal yankiv. How do you know there were 35 additional crowns? Who says there were 35 additional? One was Yosef's crown. And who were the other 35? So Rashi gives you a whole cheshbon over here. The psukim say in Chumash that there were 12 nesiim that Yishmael had. Rashi is on the top of the Omid, the third line, fourth line from the top. There were, the Chumash says there were 12 Nesim of Yishmael and 23 Alufim of Esav. So if you add together the 23 with the 12, it adds up to 35. I affect Rashi, it's not exactly Oisgehalten, it's not 23, there's 25. So Rashi patches it up. He explains that's a repeat, and that's the same person, right? So he makes a cheshbon, there were 23 Alufim of Esav and 12 Nesim of Yishmael, adds up to 35, and then Yosef's crown was it what made it 36. I don't know. The Chumash never says they had any Alufim or any Nesim. Chumash only says they were Nesim and Alufim by Esav and Yishmael. Apparently the crowns are only those who are Alufim or Nesim. Nobody from Keturah had any crowns, apparently. They were never Alufim. They weren't big, they didn't have big positions in any government. So it's interesting the way the Gemara presents it. Originally, they came to oppose the Kvura and the Maras HaMachpelah. They were going to Taina, why should your family grab all the spots? There's one more kever left, let us use it. Someone from our side of the family should use it. And then when they saw Yosef's crown, somehow they all decided, okay, we'll go along. And these chever who started originally to make Mochama, and then they gave in, so because the Mitzrayim officials saw all of their crowns, Yosef's crown, they knew all along that Yosef has a crown, but they saw the other 35 weren't going to be Mechabed originally. They were only Mechabed because of Yosef's crown, so now the Mitzrayim were inspired, and then on the way back, they gave more cover to Achi Yosef. It's interesting. Pasuk says in Bereshis, after they, when they buried Yaakov Avinu, Vayispedim Sham Mispeid Gadol Bekaved Miyov. They had tremendous hesped, and it was a tremendous avelus. State and Abraisa Tana Afilu Susim Afilu Chamorim. Not only did the people deliver hespedim, the Maharsho explains that sometimes in countries they want to show, let's say the king dies, so they want to show what a great avelus it is. So instead of having the horses dressed up with bright red jackets, they'll put on black malbushim on the horses. So the Gemara has a tradition. That's what happened over there. When they delivered all the hespedim in Eretz Yisrael, so they dressed up the horses, the susim and the hamorim, with black begodim to show that the whole world is in avelus. Everybody's in avelus over the death of Yaakov Avinu. But then the Gemara says, when they came to the Maras HaMachpelah, comes Esav. Esav was the twin brother of Yaakov Avinu. Also Esav, become Akev. And he was opposing. He says, what do you mean? Amalahem's Esav presented a whole legal argument. Mamre Kiryat Arba, hi Chevron. So Bem is the truth of the matter. Kiryat Arba, Rashi and Chumash says there were four giants. Right, Yili Dehu Anok. So there was one giant, and he had three sons. There were four giants. And Kiryat Arba is the four giants. So the Gemara has a tradition, in addition to being called Kiryat Arba because of the four giants, it's also called Kiryat Arba. Kiryat Arba, Arba Zugas Hayu. There were locations there in the Maras HaMachpelah for four pairs, couples. In other words, eight kvar. So the first two were Adam and Chava. Next two were Avram and Sarah. Next was Yitzchak and Rivka. And next was Yankov and Leah. So the Shaila was, but Yankov and Esav are twin brothers. So why should Yankov get both spots? Maybe Esav should be entitled to one spot. So that's what he tainas. Ihu kavra l'Leah. My brother Yankov, Esav tainas. My brother Yankov had used up one of the last two spots to bury his wife. Bididei, that's his half of the Yerusha. Now I want my half of the Yerusha. Behind the Payish, Didihu. And the Keva that's left over, behind the spot, the Payish that's left over, Didihu, that should be mine. I want to reserve that out when I'll die. Lachameh es Mishana, I want to be buried in Maras HaMachpelah. What right do the Bnei Yankov have to bury the father, to grab the both spots? We're both twin sons of Yitzchak Avinu. So he should get one, I should get one.
Why didn't Yishmael make that title?
I don't know. Maybe he knew Kibi Yitzchak. Maybe he knew Kibi Yitzchak. He called him Hazera. Maybe he heard that. Only. Yeah. So I guess he heard Bi Yitzchak called him Hazera and Yishmael not. Yeah. But the Chazal have a tradition. Bi Yitzchak. Well, look, call Yitzchak. Not all of Yitzchak. In other words, half. One son, yeah, and one son, no. So So that's what Esav is debating. Where did he get that idea? One son, yeah, he says, I should have had half. My brother got half, and I should have half. Omrele, so the children said, the nephews of Esav, their uncle, the dear uncle Esav, so they said, Omrele, Zvinte, but you sold everything to my father. So he says, no, I sold the chelek b'chora to the father. I never sold the chelek apshitas. When a person dies and he has two sons, so they should divide 50-50. So Esav was born first, so he's entitled to two-thirds, and Yaakov Avinu is entitled to one-third. That's the Pishnai. So Esav Tainis, I sold the Bechor. The Imker is Bechorosa Liyankin. He sold the Bechorosa, so he's not entitled to two-thirds, but they should be treated like two Pshutim, 50-50. So he says, I never sold everything, I only sold the extra amount. That's what he tied us. Omer lahu, so Esav tainis to the children. I sold the extra share, that it shouldn't be two-thirds and one-third. I never sold my whole share, that I get nothing. So they said, Omer lahu, and yes, you sold everything. Dechsev, the Pasuk says, Yaakov Avinu gave instructions to the children before he dies. You should take me back to Eretz Yisrael, to the Baruch Samachpel, and bury me. Bikivri asher karisi li. In the grave, Asher Karisi, how to translate the word Karisi? In the grave that I dug. Ki the grave that I dug. So Gemara has a tradition, it doesn't mean that. It means the grave that I purchased. Asher Karisi, the Amr Abiyach, Hashem Hashem Ba'yat Zadav, and Kira, Eloh Shem Mechira. It means the grave that I purchased. I bought it from my brother, and my brother sold me everything. He didn't only sell, that's what Yankov told the children, that when I purchased, the Bechorah from Esav, I didn't just buy that we should be 50-50 instead of two-thirds and one-third. I bought everything. She came to Krakayam, and there are distant places on the other side of the ocean when they speak this language, Kor L'Mechira Kira. So the Chumash is using B'chivi Asher Karisi Li. In Hebrew, in Biblical Hebrew, the word Karisi means to dig, Kiyich Rishbar. So the Gemara says, this is a word from a different language, like Toitofes. Like Taitofis is an African language, the Gemara says. Tat Bekavsi Shtaim, Pas Bafrikin Shtaim, different languages. So the Gemara says that this word, Bekrake Ayam, they speak a different language in a far out country. And the word Kira means Mechira. So when Yaakov Avinu told the children, bury me in the Moros HaMachpelah because I bought it from my brother. So Esav says, it's not true. Amalahu, so Esav says, but I'm a Muchzok. I'm a muchzak. You have no raya that I sold everything. Everybody knows that I sold. They all knew. Everybody knew there was a story that he sold something. The Chumash said, "V'imkar is b'chayrasai." The Esav Tainis, I only sold the b'chayr. I don't get two thirds. But I never sold the whole thing. So simply, he should be the muchzak. He should, because he's in line to get the Yerusha. We only know that he sold something. So he should be muchzak on half. He's not going to get two-thirds, but he should be muchzak on half. So Hamoitze Mechaveir, all of Araya, if they want to bury Yaakov Avinu there in the other spot, they should have to bring the proof that he sold everything. Bring the shtar. Havula Igarta. Bring a shtar that says, Omrele, we don't have the shtar here. Igarta barad the Mitzrayim. We left it back in the vault. We left it at home in Eretz Mitzrayim. So then they saw this Esav is not going to let him bury the father unless they produce the shtar. So they said, okay, we're going to stop here. We're going to send one of the brothers back. Quite a mahalach to go back to Mitzrayim. So they sent the brother who could run fastest. Uma Nezel, whom should we send? Nezel Naphtali. We're going to send the brother Naphtali. The Kolol Ki Ailosa. He runs quickly like a gazelle. The Chsiv, it says in Pasuk, when Yaakov Avinu is giving all the brachas to the children before he dies, so he gives a bracha, Naphtali Ayala Shlucha Hanoisen Imre Shofar. So the Gemara interprets, Ayala Shlucha, he's fast, he runs quickly like a gazelle, Hanoisen Imre Shofar. What does that mean? Amar Rababo, Al Tikri Imre Shofar, Ale Imre Sefer. Naphtali was the one who's going to run back to Mitzrayim and run back to Eretz Yisrael and produce the shtar, a sefer. Sefer means a shtar, like it says when a man divorces his wife, because of the law, sefer grises. What, he gives her a book? Sefer usually means a book, and sometimes it means a shtar. A get is a shtar. So it says, Hanoisen Imre Shofer, it's the same as Hanoisen Imre Sefer. He's going to bring back the shtar. So the Gemara tells the story that one of the children, Chushim, Brei Didon, Taman Hava, he was there too. because not only all the children of Yankin came, a lot of the grandchildren came along also. The Yakirin Leudne, he was hard of hearing. So he just sees that the funeral procession stopped, and he doesn't know what's going on. Omalahu, so he asked, my high, what's going on? Why did we stop the funeral? Romalei, so they explained to him, the kids have come, Akevai, this guy is holding us back, and we had to send Naftali back to Egypt, and he's going to come back. It's going to take a couple of days till he's going to come back. So he said, Adasi Naftali, behind the Mitzray. We're going to have to wait here. We're going to have to camp out here for a couple of days till Naftali comes back with the shtar. Omalahu, so Chushim ben Don does know any constancy. He said, Vadasi Naftali, behind the Mitzray, until he comes back. Hey, Avi Abba Mutal be Bizoy, my grandfather Yankov Avinu is going to be sitting there. It's a Bizoy and Ames to be Melin is Ames. Kelinelech Vodo is one thing. The Melin Yankov Avinu so many days till they travel from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. Once they're ready there in Eretz Yisrael, so you're not allowed to be Melin Ames unnecessarily. So he says, this is Mutal be Bizoy for no good reason. So he didn't want to put up with this. Shokal Kulfa, so he took a shteken. He took a cane, machye areshe, so he popped Esav on the head, and Nasrin Eine, so his two eyes popped out. He dropped dead, and his two eyes popped out. Vinoflu akara de Yankif. So the eyes fell on Yankif Avinu's mito. So the Gemara says, Paschinu Yankif Leine, Yankif Avinu opened up his eyes, and he saw that Esav was just killed by by Yankif's grandson, Chushim ben Don. So he had a smile on his face. Yankov Avinu was smiling that his brother was just killed because he was mavazeh him. It says in Tehillim, Yismach Tzadik, the Tzadik will rejoice. He was smiling, Yankov was smiling, Kichaza Nokam, because he sees Nekama taken. Pa'omav Yirchatz Bedam HaRosha. When you kill the Rosha, so there's a puddle of blood, so the Tzadik's feet will bathe in the Dam of the Rosha. So the eyes popped on the legs of Yankov Avinu. That's how it said. V'noflu akare di Yankov. The eyes of Esav fell on the legs of Yankov. But that's what the Gemara says. The pasuk in Tehillim was fulfilled. Pa'am of Yirchatz b'dam ha-rosha. The legs of the tzaddik will bathe in the blood of the rosh. So the Gemara says that on that occasion, Bosu shon is kaimon the Bosu shal Rivka. Rivka was afraid after Yankov Avinu fooled Yitzchak and he got the bracha. So the pasuk says Esau was so furious he wanted to kill him, so Rivka was afraid he's really going to kill him, so she sent Yankov away because she said, Lama Ashkol Shnechem Yom Echot, I don't want to lose both sons on the same day. How is she going to lose both sons? Esau was going to kill Yankov. They weren't going to kill each other. Esau was going to kill Yankov. What was going to be? So what she said was like a nevuah. So her nevuah was fulfilled that they were not 100%. The Gemara says, "V'afal gav de misasim lo biyamechot avoy." They didn't both die on the same day. Nonetheless, kivurasim lo biyamechot avoy. The burial took place on the same day because when they buried Yankov, they were burying the eyes, part of the body of Esav. So she said, "Lama eshkal gam shnechem yamechot." Why should I lose both children on the same day? It's not exactly that they should die on the both day, but they were both buried on the same day. Yeah.
Now the,
somewhere else, his eyes were buried here. In Yiddish folklore, they say that it doesn't say that like in the Gemara. They say that Chushim ben Don knocked off his head, so the head is a medrash. The Gemara says only the eyes, and there's a medrash that says the head. So the Velt says, why was the head buried? In the Gemara says, because Esav had a Yiddish cup. It's a joke. It's a Yiddish folklore. So the Gemara is not bothered with Akasha. The Mishnah presents it. Yosef was rewarded Bida Keneged Mida because he was metapel on the burial of the father. That's why years later, when he died, many years later, so Moshe Rabbeinu was mechabed Yosef to bury him. What do you mean? Yosef was metapel on the kvura of the father. All the brothers went up. Why do you single out Yosef? The brothers let him.
He did the most work. He had the ability because of his royalty.
And originally, father came to him and asked him to swear.
Okay. But all the brothers also participated. So the Gemara is asking the Eloi asked. Oh, that's what the Gemara is going to say. The Eloi asked Be Yosef, and if Yosef wouldn't have taken care of the Kvura, Echov Lahavim Misaskibay. The brothers wouldn't have taken care of the Kfura. They all participated. So what does the Mishnah single out? Yosef took care of it. Yosef arranged the political part. He negotiated with Paro that they should let him bury him in Eretz Yisrael and so on. But they all participated in the Kfura. So what does the Mishnah single out? That Yosef was the one who took care of the Kfura and the father. And for the Gemara, because they all fit, that would be more bekovedik. Omru, all the brothers decided, Hanicholo, it's better that Yosef should be in charge of everything, not just the political negotiations by the government. It's more bekovedik that Yosef, who is the Mishnah HaMelech, who is the prime minister, he should be metapel in the Kvura. Then the Mishnah continues, because Yosef was so, he was rewarded mida k'neged mida because he was metapel in the Kvura of Yankiv Avinu. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was metapel in his Kvura. So the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbana, the Brisa says, look at the way Moshe Rabbeinu loved to do mitzvahs. Everybody was busy taking bizas mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was not taking bizas mitzrayim. He was busy taking care of other mitzvahs. Chacham leiv yikach mitzvahs. Pasuk says in Mishlei, the one who's a chacham leiv will always find the situation to perform mitzvahs. Truth of the matter is that Bnei Yisrael who were taking bizas mitzrayim was also a mitzvah. They were commanded. But there's a mitzvah and there's a mitzvah. The mitzvah to take bizas mitzrayim is going to make a lot of money, and you're not going to dirty yourself with dead bodies and going to cemeteries and to schlep for 40 years. They didn't know how long. They didn't know it's going to take 40 years until after the Chet HaMeraglim, but it's going to be a pain in the neck. And taking the bizas mitzrayim, that's a happy mitzvah. And this is a drudgery mitzvah. There are mitzvahs like eating matzah, and there are mitzvahs like eating maror. There are different kinds of mitzvahs. So Moshe Rabbeinu is doing the mitzvah like eating maror, and all the others are doing the mitzvah like klapin haman, like eating hamantashen. It's a different kind of a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Chacham leiv yikach mitzvahs. Moshe Rabbeinu was a chacham, and he decided it's nicer to take care of this mitzvah rather than to take care of the other mitzvah. So then the Gemara says, but Yosef died so many years before. The Shibud Mitzrayim was for Redu for 210 years. Yosef hadn't been dead for many years, so how did he know where Yosef was buried? Frag di Gemara, and it's a Sefta, it says, Minayin ho yodea Moshe Rabbeinu hechan Yosef kavur. How did he know? I would have thought that there was a Yiddish cemetery, and they went every year, and Aseres made Shuvah, the Chodesh Elul, Slichas, I don't know. So the Gemara says, no, there was no Yiddish cemetery. When he was buried by the Egyptians. And none of the Jews knew where it was. So how did he ever find out? How did Moshe Rabbeinu figure out where he is? So the Gemara Omru, the tradition has it, Serach Basasher, Nishtari Meyosa Hador. She was still alive. She was alive when they went down to Mitzrayim. She was still alive when they left Eretz Mitzrayim. Palach Moshe Etzlo, Moshe Rabbeinu went to Serach Basasher. She was the only survivor from that Tkufa. She was very old. Omalok, Klumat Yodas, Hechen Yosef Kavur. Did you read in the newspapers 200 years ago who's still alive? Did you remember from the newspapers where did the government bury Yosef HaTzadik? So she says, yeah, she remembers. Amaloi, Oren Shal Mateches Asolo Mitzrayim. They made a metal casket, Ukva'uhu Binilus HaNohar, and they submerged the Oren with the body of Yosef in the Nile River, Gedesh Yisboch HaMemov, because the Nile always overflows and it fills up all of the Yeorim and Mitzrayim with water and it irrigates the whole country. So they wanted the neschus of this holy tzaddik, Yosef HaTzadik, they wanted him to be buried in the Nile River, in the middle of the river, like Osama bin Laden. So they wanted a bracha that the whole country should be flooded with water. Yeah, what's takad halacha? You're allowed to bury in a casket, in a metal casket. Strictly speaking, you are allowed to bury. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, dinim from Brises, from Yerushalmis, the redinim, a difference whether the person is buried in a wooden casket, buried in a metal casket. Strictly speaking, is mutter. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch, there's a Brise in the Yerushalmi has like this. There's a din of likut atzomus. If a person died and was buried over here, and then many years go by and all the flesh is all gone, they're just going to be bones. After many years, they had a practice. They would collect all the bones and bury it somewhere else. They would have a little bag and they collect all the bones, malakat atzamas, and bury it in a different location. So the Gemara says it didn't. When you do likat atzamas, you have to preserve avelus all over again for that one day. Ad sof hayom, till the end of the day. People now in America, they do that. Someone was buried in America 30 years ago, so the children get together money and they want to rebury him in Eretz Yisrael. So they do likat atzamas. So the Pischei Tshuva in the end of Yerideya quotes from the Chasam Sefer that the best thing is that the child who wants to have the Likat HaTzomis from a parent should request of the Chevra Kadisha they should take care of it, and they shouldn't tell him till the day is all over. What does he have to know and observe Avelus? If he doesn't know, he's Pata from Avelus. There's no mitzvah to tell a person that a relative died that he should sit Shiva. But Darfnish, if it's the son, and the son would like to say Kaddish, that's a schus for the father, then it says in Shulchan Aruch, we tell the son that he should be mezakeh the father by saying Kaddish. But if it's a daughter, today it's not going to work. They're going to hear within 5 minutes. They're going to get an email, they're going to read it in the newspaper, someone's going to call him on a telephone. So it's not going to help. But years ago, there was no telephone, he's never going to find out that the parent died. Then they'll find out years later, so you're not mechuyev to tell him. If they find out after 30 days it's a shmor rechoika, we pass on that a shmur rechoika, you only know a gabelis, your mechod and not your mechod, you can chisel down to mitzvah and kukuloi just for shoachas, even by parent. One opinion in the Gemara that the shmur rechoika by parent, you want noik shiva. We don't pass on like that. We pass on even by parents also, shmur rechoika is only noik shoachas. So the Yerushalmi quotes one brisa that says about likot atzomis. Normally, they would bury a body in the ground, and the body would decompose. Then someone has to go and collect the bones and rebury them in a different location. What if the body was buried in a casket? And now you're taking the whole casket. You don't take the bones out of the casket. You take the whole casket the way it is, and you move it to a different location, and you rebury it over there. So maybe it's considered, maybe there's no din that you have to observe Avelus all over again. Maybe it's considered as if the body is still buried. So the Yerushalmi quotes a brisa that distinguishes between a metal casket and a wooden casket. Wood is gedula karka, it grows from the ground. So once you take the wooden casket out of the ground, the mace is no longer covered by karka. So then when you rebury the wooden casket in Eretz Yisrael, and then you throw dirt on top of it, now you did a second kvura. But if the person was originally buried in a metal casket, so metal is karka, so when you take the metal casket out of the ground and you take it to a different location, he was covered by karka from the beginning to the end. Nothing changed. That's not called likat atzamas. So the Yerushalmi and Shulchan Aruch quotes like that. Dinim about metal caskets, wooden caskets, so strictly speaking, it's not a problem. There is a minig, there's a medrash that says, Vayischabe ha'odam b'soch eitz agon, after the chet of the eitz adas. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu started to make noise in Gan Eden, and Adam Rishon heard that Ribbono Shel'Olam was approaching. So the pasuk says, "Vayischabe ha'adam b'soch eitz hagan." He was hiding in the trees. He was afraid to confront the Ribbono Shel'Olam. So the Medrash says, when a person dies, we should bury him in a wooden casket, as the al shem ha'pasuk, "Vayischabe ha'adam b'soch eitz hagan." Eitz hagan is taken as a wooden casket. So that's a minhag that you bury people in wooden caskets. But strictly speaking, it's not a din. I remember many years ago, the president of my father's shul manufactured caskets. So at that time, he was the only one who manufactured wooden caskets that had wooden pegs. They didn't use metal nails. Now I think they all do like that. But at that time, he was the one and only one. So he wanted my father to get the OU to give an OU endorsement on his caskets. So at that time, the OU only gave hashgacha on food. Mm-hmm. Now they talk, you give hashgacha on Shabbos lights and on clothing that are not shatnas and all kinds of other things. But at that time, they didn't. So the Gemara talks over here that the Mitzrayim, that's what Serach Basosha tells Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Mitzrayim buried Yosef in a metal casket that it should be watertight, that the water shouldn't go in, and they buried him in the Nile River, Kadesh Yisboch HaMeimov, it should be a blessing for the country.
Rabbi, can't you say that in the burial that took place in the river was... wasn't a permanent burial? If you say he has to be buried in wood, we understand. It's like maybe sort of like in a mausoleum or in a refrigerator until the actual kavura took place, albeit 200 years later. This wasn't a final.
Yeah, it was not a kavura.
It wasn't so.
Yeah, the goyim did it. No, you're only kavura is supposed to be bekarka.
Right. And not Yotzei Kfura. They knew he was going to be disinterred and be reburied. That was his request. So this wasn't the final.
Yeah. The Mitzrayim did this. It was Shalakid did. You're not Yotzei. You're not Yotzei. One community wanted me to give a shiur on the burial that they gave to Ben Laden, whether the halacha would recognize such. But of course not. Kfura has to be Bekarka. But the Egyptians did this. Yosef didn't leave this tzavua. The Mitzrayim did it. That's Shalakidin. Putting in an orange shalmateches, that's not Shalakidin. But putting in the river, that's Shalakidin. Yeah, you have to bury a person for a Bekarka. That's shala. How deep in does that? How much karka do you have to throw on top of the orange? 6 feet under? How much karka do you have to have? So Ramosha has a tshuva. Sometimes, let's say, it's swampy lower down. So you don't want to put, that's a bizoyan ames, that a person should be buried in a swampy area. So let's say higher up in the earth, it's dry. So how high can you bury the mace? If you leave the oran on top of the ground, it's not kvura b'karka. Because how much offer do you have to have? So Ramosha brings rice from the Shulchan Aruch. 3 tvachim is genug. If you have 3 tvachim of offer, you don't need 6 feet under. 3 tvachim of offer is enough. Because the Shulchan Aruch has a din based on Gemaras that they sometimes bury one mace on top of the other. In Europe, there are cemeteries where they used up all the spots. Prague, they have other Kalish also where the Mogan Avraham is buried. So there are quite a few cities where they used up all the burial ground. So then they buried other mesim on top of the lower layer, provided you have 6 tvachim of offer in between. Why do you need 6 tvachim? So Moshe explains, you're supposed to have 3 tvachim on top, 3 tvachim on bottom, 3 tvachim on every side for each mace. Then you need 3 tvachim on the bottom for the mace on top. So altogether you need 6 tvachim mapsik between one kever, one orin, and the other orin. So he says, Memel on top, all you need is 3 tvachim of offer. You can take up, you don't have to dafka dig. You can put a mace on, you can put an orin on top of the ground, and then throw offer on top. No, then you have to dig in the ground, put him in. You can leave the orin on top of the ground and put the offer on top of it, as long as you have 3 tvachim on top, 3 tvachim on the sides. That's called kvura bekarka.
A metal orin is okay, then you're saying?
Strictly speaking, a metal orin is okay. And Nachmanim quote, it's a minig based on that medrash on the Shulchan Aruch says metal aron is okay. And the later Nachmanim quote that the minig developed to use dafka wooden aron because of that medrash on the pasuk vayischabeh ha'adam mesoch eitz agan, which is not talking about burying people, but it's a pun. It's a play on the words that you hide a dead body mesoch eitz agan. And then some Nachmanim say that they had a minig if a person was a learner and he used to have a wooden shtender. So you should take apart the wooden shtender and make an oran from that. And if he wasn't a learner, so you should take the wooden table. The Gemara says, "Mizman shabes hamikdash hayakayam." So the mizbech would be mechaper. Mizman hazeh shulchana shaladam is mechaper. What do you mean shulchana? Where he eats? Because he invites poor people to eat with him. So if he had a wooden table, so if he dies and he has many, his wife needs the table, so you don't take apart the table to bury him. But if he's the last one to die, no one's going to use this old rickety wooden table, so you take apart the table. If he was learning and he used the wooden shtender, so you take apart the shtender and make a wooden iron out of it. And if he doesn't have a wooden shtender, he has a wooden table that no one's going to use, it's a baltashchis to take apart the wooden table that someone can use as a table, but no one's going to use it anymore, so then you bury him in that. That should be farechen tezuzchus. Strictly speaking, you're supposed to have kvura bekarka, so you're not supposed to put in an oran. Yeah, that's how the Yerushalmi says. If you're buried in a metal casket, that's kvura bekarka. The metal is considered karka mamish. You're buried in a wooden casket, that's gedula karka. So that's not kvura bekarka. So how can you bury in a wooden oran? It's not kvura bekarka. So that's what the Achronim say. You should drill holes on the bottom. So here in America, by the Hasidim, it's against the law to bury in America without a coffin. You're supposed to bury in a coffin. So by the Hasidim, I understand that many of them ignore the law, that when they bury the person, so they pull out the bottom plank.
They have a false bottom.
A false bottom, and it turns out that the person has an oran on top of him, but his body is mamish al gabi karka. So they quote the Chof Masodam. Because Chof Masodam says you should drill holes on the bottom, so it'll be considered kvura bekarka.
In Israel, yes, they don't bury in a coffin.
Right. Strictly speaking, that's more correct, not to bury in a coffin. And if you want to bury in a coffin, shame besser to bury in a metal coffin al pidin. And the minig is nitazah. Minig is that you're makbid to bury in a wooden coffin, but that you have to make the drills holes on the bottom that is be considered for a bekarka.
I guess the wood is biodegradable, the wood.
So it'll decompose after a while. Right, right. That's more correct. To bury without an arm.
Sarcophagus considered cargo? A sarcophagus.
What is that?
It's a stone cargo.
Stone.
Is that considered like?
Stone is also cargo.
The Egyptians, they used to bury them.
Stone is also karka, or what do you call it, concrete. In some countries in Europe, they had a law that you have to pour concrete around the mace that no sickness should spread. So the Yosemech has in Hilchas Tumas Mace, he has a tshuva halacha l'maase. He usually has pulpulim on the Rambam. Once every 100 pages, he has a bira halacha l'maase. So he has a short essay. He says, concrete is mamish karka mamish. Of course it's kvura bekarka. No shayla about it. It's, you take it from the earth and you make concrete out of it. So that's kvura bekarka. The stone is karka mamish.
The shufra.
Offer atavah l'offer toshu. He's supposed to bury a person but offer. Yeah.
But most of your rondos today are not with
By the fryer, they use expensive arrows. By the fruma, they have holes on the bottom. Orthodox Jews try to get with a hole on the bottom. So this is one version of the story, that Tzarech Basasha was still around, and she told Moshe Rabbeinu this story she remembers from 150 years ago. When her uncle died, Yosef HaTzadik died, she remembers that the Mitzrayim made a whole hullabaloo. They put him in a metal casket and they put it in the Nilus. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the Nile. He's going to how is he going to figure out where it is? If it's buried in the water somewhere. So he comes. Halach Moshe v'amar al sfas ha-Nilus. He goes to that location. Amalo, so he speaks to Yosef. He says, Yosef, Yosef. Higia ha-eis, shenishba ha-kodesh bochu. The time has come that the Rebbeinu Shlom swore Shani Goel Eschem, he's going to redeem the whole Jewish people. The Higia Hashvua, and it's time for us to fulfill the promise that you made your brothers and your descendants. Hashbeah Hashbeah Bnei Yisrael Emor. It says Yosef had the brothers swear. It says Hashbeah Hashbeah. He made them swear. He didn't think they'll live so long till Yitzias Mitzrayim is going to be a few hundred years. So the Gemara understands Hishbiyam Shiyashbiyu as b'neim. Yosef made the brothers swear that before they'll die, they make their children swear that they'll make their children swear that when the time comes, you can't just make them swear that they should bury him in Eretz Yisrael. They probably won't live so long to bury. Hashbiyah Hishbiyam means Hishbiyam Shiyashbiyu as b'neim. Made them swear that when the time comes, so Moshe Rabbeinu says Higia Hashvur Shiyashbatas Yisrael. Now it's time for us to keep the oath that we took, that we're going to bury you in Eretz Yisrael, but you have to help out, Zokter. If you show us where you are, so we'll be happy to take you to Eretz Yisrael. And if you're not going to, I don't know where you are. He's speaking to Yosef in the Nile. If you're not going to show us where you are, then we're off the hook. We're not mechuyev to go crazy. How are we going to know where you are? Miyad, after Moshe Rabbeinu gives this drasha, Tzof Aron Shel Yosef. So the Oren, which is made from metal, metal is heavy. Mm. It sinks to the bottom. So a miracle occurred, and the metal floated to the top. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew that's the Oren of Yosef HaTzadik, so he's going to schlep it to Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, really, there was such a miracle that happened. Not easy to do such a miracle. Val Tasman, don't wonder, how can it be? Hecha Barzel Tzof, how can metal float on top of the water? Because we have a story in Sefer Melachim, which was done by Elisha Hanavi. One of the Talmidim of Elisha was a Talmid of Eliyahu Hanavi. So one of the Talmidim of Elisha had borrowed a hatchet. What did he borrow? I forgot already. I think he borrowed a hatchet from someone else, and he dropped it in the river, and it sank to the bottom. So how's he going to ever pay for this? So Shoyl Eschai Beyonce. He's going to have to pay. It was an expensive thing. So he told Elisha. Huh? Meisa Machmas Malacha. I don't know. If you're in the middle of doing the work, then it's Meisa Machmas Malacha, because he lent it to me to use, and it's self-understood. if I do what he instructed me to do. But apparently he dropped it in the river.
It just slipped out of his hands?
Yeah, not at the time that he was doing the malacha. And a shoyel is chai b'yonsin. So he came to Elisha and he said, what do I do? I can't afford, I have to pay. A shoyel is chai b'yonsin, I have to pay for this hatchet. Vahihu echad mapel akorah. There's habarzel nofal alamayim, and the metal hatchet, the metal part fell into the river. Aho adoini. So they ask Elisha, no, what am I going to do? But who show? I borrowed it. I'm chai b'yonsin. Vayam ishu elakim. So Elisha Novi says to the Talmud of his, ora nofal, where did it fall? Vayareos hamokam. The Talmud of Elisha shows him where it fell. Vayakze veitz vayashlach shama. So Elisha Novi threw a piece of wood in at that location. Vayotzef habarzel. And the metal floated to the top. So you see that Elisha had the koyach. He was a lower level Navi. Elisha Navi was able, the koyach hanavuah, to cause the barzel to float to the top. Haladvarim kalvachemer. Ama Elisha, who's Talmidah shel Eliyahu Navi is a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's a Talmud of the Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. He could do this moifes. Tzafa barzel mipanav. He had the koyach to cause the barzel to float to the top. So Mipnei Moshe Rabbeinu Alachas Kama V'Kama. Moshe Rabbeinu certainly had that Koach HaNavuah to cause the metal to flow to the top.
The whole thing is of ice and nature. There has to bring a riot from
the... I don't know. What they need a Koach HaNavuah for, I don't know.
Didn't they have the same area with the case of Nikon or Ghost?
Yes. Yes.
It came floating to the top.
Yeah, it came to the shores. No, it was thrown up to the shores. They were transporting golden gates for the Beis Hamikdash, and they fell off of the boat. And then a miracle occurred, and it was pushed up to the shore. Yeah, yeah. What is the lashon of the Gemara is that Elisha Navi was a Talmud of Eliyahu Navi was a Talmud of Moshe. Since when was Eliyahu Navi Talmud of Moshe? So Rashi is bothered with that. So Rashi says, so one could have said there's one opinion in the Gemara that Pinchas Eliyahu. If Pinchas Eliyahu, Pinchas was a Kohen. So then Eliyahu Navi is a Kohen. So that's one opinion of the Gemara. But then the Gemara has, Eliyahu Navi is a very mysterious figure. And the Gemara has different opinions what Shevet he came from. So according to one opinion, Pinchas Eliyahu, he was from Shevet Levi, he was a Kohen. The other one says he was Shevet Don, Shevet God, and Shevet Yisachar. Every Shevet claimed he's from our Shevet. He was a very mysterious person. He used to disappear, he used to reappear. So no one knew exactly. One tradition had it, he was a Kohen. So that's the so if you hold Pinchas Eliyahu, so he was a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu Kipshuta. If you hold not Pinchas Eliyahu, so then Rashi Farenfes, it was a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. He learned Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote a book, Chumash and Chumash Torah, and he read his book. Eliyahu Navi studied his book and he studied it very well. So Rashi says that's why he's called Talmud Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. Directly. So what do you have to say? Elisha was a Talmud. He could have said he's direct Talmud. I don't know. That's how Rashi Farenfes. And others point out if you hold Pinchas Eliyahu, then he was literally a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. In the collection of letters in Europe before the war, they used to have a practice. The Bochum from the yeshivas used to send kashas or shilas to the Ragachover from the Chassidish yeshivas and from the Litvish yeshivas. He corresponded. They used to send postcards, double postage, two postcards attached to each other, and it would rip on the perforation. I remember they used to have it in the United States like that. Maybe I haven't seen it in many years. So they would pay for the postage for the return postcard. So he wrote many letters to many, many people. Every day he wrote a lot of letters, a ton of letters. So once his daughter, the Ragachava had a daughter. She was married to a Talmud Chacham Zerov in Petah Tikva, I think, in Eretz Yisrael, way before Hakamas HaMedina. And after her father passed away, so she went back to Europe. It was in the middle of the war. She went back to Europe in order to collect as many letters as possible to print them. And people were pleading with her, Mishugana, you're going to get killed. So she said, no, she has to ratava her father's letters. She went back to Europe and she printed the collection of letters. She was killed by the Nazis. And she never had any children. So her husband died, and in Petah Tikva, and she was killed by the Nazis, and so he has no more descendants. So in that collection of letters, they call it Shadus HaTshuvas of the Ragachovas. Not really Shadus HaTshuvas. Most of them were kashas and learning. Some were Shadus and Halacha, but most were not. They didn't ask him. He wasn't He wasn't into so much into Psak Halacha. They didn't like his the way he paskened anyway. He always had very original ideas, and the Gedolim didn't hold that you should follow any Psakim of the Rosh Hashanah. He was good for talking and learning. And so they have one of the letters that they sent him. What does he say about the Shalos Shvuos? They were tumbling before in the 1920s, 1930s. The Gemara says in the end of Ksubis that there's a pasuk that appears three times in Shir HaShirim, Hishbati Eschem Enos Yerushalayim, Hem Tehirim, Torah Su'ava, Shetechbot. So the Gemara says what it means is that the Ribbono Shlom had the Jewish people take a Shvua, we're not going to pressure the Ummah Sa'alam to give us a Medina. So that was the complaint against the Zionist movement. How can you pressure Britain to give us a Medina? It's against the Shalos Shvuos. The Shalos Shvuos. That's the Satmara position. That's an etheric character. Everything is the Shalos Shvuos. So someone sent a letter to the Ragachava. What does he say about the Shalos Shvuos? So they wanted to get him involved in politics. As if he doesn't know what they're driving at. So he wrote a shtickle Torah about the Shalos Shvuos. So he writes, I never took the Shvuah. You never took the Shvuah. I never heard from my parents they took the Shvuah. So why is the Shvuah binding on us? So the answer is that Klal Yisrael took a Shvuah. So it's binding on all of members of Klal Yisrael. So why did Yosef have to do Hashbeah Hishbiah as Bnei Yisrael? Hishbiah Sheyashbiah as Bnei'em. You should have had Klal Yisrael take a Shvuah. So it'll be binding on all the Doris Abayim, even if they won't be Mashbiah as Bnei'em. Even if they won't make their children swear. Even if they won't live so long. Yosef knew that his brothers are not going to live so long, 150 years till Yetzias Mitzrayim, so he made them swear that they're going to make their children swear that they make their children swear. What did he need it for? He should have done like the Shalos Shvuos. So the Ragachava answers that Koidem Matan Torah there was no Klal Yisrael. Each Jew was individual. So he had to have, so there was no concept of Shvuos HaTzibur, there was only Shvuos HaYochid. So Hishbiyam Sheyashbiyu as B'nei. But what Shlomo HaMelech writes, that Klal Yisrael took a Shvuah in his binding on all the Doros Abayim, that was after Matan Torah. After Matan Torah emerged the concept of Klal Yisrael. The pasuk says, "Vayichan Sham Yisrael neged Hahar," in the singular. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, "Ki ish echad b'leiv echad." On the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, all of Klal Yisrael was united, and they constituted one entity of one nation of an Am Miloshen Im altogether. So after Matan Torah, Shaykh to have a Shvuah. So that's what he answered. When they wanted him to say his position on the Shalos Shvuos, so he avoided the whole issue. He never wanted to get...
justify it. He made it stronger.
No, he just explained the Gemara. The Gemara says that this... there is a Shvuos HaTzibur, but he didn't say whether he holds that this is a violation of the Shalos Shvuos. There's a Rabbi Shlomo Aviner. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. He has a yeshiva in the Rova HaMuslami, I think, in Yerushalayim. So he published an essay many years ago, 50 years ago, I think. He published an essay where he collects, I think, 26 different explanations why the Shalos Shvuos are no longer binding. He quotes from Rishonim, Achronim, everybody has a different suggestion. Why wasn't the establishment of the Medina in violation of the Shalos Shvuos? So that was a topic years ago that people used to pilpul about. Some people still feel that it's in violation. Some people still... Yeah. If you're going to save one person's life, you can violate all the Shvuos. Koach nefesh is derech Shvuos, avada. Then the Gemara has a different version. The first version was, both in the Tosefta, first version was that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking, who remembers from 150 years ago where Yosef was buried? None of the Jewish people knew where. So the first version was that Serach Bar Sasha said the Egyptians buried him in a metal casket in the Nile River. Second version has it, Rav Nosson Naamer, a different story, but Karvarnit Shal Malachim Hoya Kavur. No, there was a special royal cemetery for Bekovedik members of the royalty, and Yosef was buried there, and all the Jews knew that he's buried. He didn't need Tzarech Basosha. They had a tradition that he's buried over there. What? Okay. Holach Moshe v'Amar al Kavarnet Shal Malachim. They knew that he's buried over there in that cemetery somewhere, but they didn't know exactly which grave was his. Omar, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yosef, he speaks to the dead person, the Rebbe Shalom said it's time he wants to redeem the Jewish people, and now it's time for us to keep our word. We took an oath that we're going to take it back to Eretz Yisrael. And Matamara Atzmecha, we don't know who's who over here. We're not going to schlep 100 tombs. We're not going to schlep 100 arenas. So if you'll indicate to us where you are, Mutov, Vimlav, and we're not going to tell us who, we're not going to schlep all 100 mesim over here. So we're off the hook. We're not obligated to keep the shvuah. It's going to be too difficult. But also, on that occasion, one of the aronis started to shake. Nizdazeh aronis shal Yosef. Moshe Rabbeinu understood. Okay, he's indicating that that's him. So they told him Moshe, the heviyah etzlo. So Moshe Rabbeinu took it. So when everybody else was a metapel in the bizus mitzvah, that was also a mitzvah. But chacham lev yikach mitzvahs. He was a chacham. He did a different mitzvah. He did the mitzvah to be metapel in the kvura of Yosef HaTzadik. And for all the 40 years that they were traveling in the Midbar, Moshe Rabbeinu was supervising. Cholos Mishonim, Shaisa Bamidbar, Ho Yishnei Aronis Halalo, Echad Shalmeis, Vechad Shalshchinim, Halchim Zeh Im Zeh. They had the two Aronis, they had the Aron with the Luchas in it, they had the Aron with the bones of Yosef HaTzadik. And the Jewish people were not the only ones who were traveling in the desert at that time. There were Goyim who were, there were Goyish travelers who were there also. So they would see the Jewish people schlepping two aronis, and they asked them, what is this? They said, one is a dead body, an ancestor of ours, and the other one contains the luchas that the Shechina, that the invisible God in the heaven above, gave us the luchas. They said, you're having from the invisible God with the mace. So what he had, that same covet. For Yehovim Mishovim, with the Goyim who would be traveling in the Midbar, Omrim, Mati, Vanshushnai, Ranas, Alolo. What's it all about? The Jews knew what it was all about, but the travelers in the desert didn't know. So Omru said, the Jews told all the travelers, Echad Shal Meis, Vechad Shal Shechina. So they said, a mace next to the Shechina, you believe in this invisible God. He gave Yaseris Adiba. So what do you have, the Oren of the mace? Why one next to that? Why do you have one next to the other? So he said, because this man, this tzaddik who's in this Arayn, observed all of the Aseres Adibras that are in the other Arayn. He believed in one God, and he never worshipped Avodah Zarah. One by one, Rashi quotes the top Rashi, quotes a Mechilta, where it's spelled out in more detail. The way Yosef HaTzaddik observed all of the Aseres Adibras, and that's what they told the travelers, Ki em zeh, this Yosef HaTzadik, our ancestor, fulfilled all of the Aseres Adibas. Sure.
How many times did Moshe was Misasek, he was the pallbearer, whatever it was, didn't he become tummy each time? Did he always have to shrink himself with the parah? And if he went on a moment's notice to speak to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's why he separated from Sephora. He was like fulfilling the constant state of Tumor.
How can he go into the... He was the only one who was allowed to go into the Heichal to speak to the Shechina, and the voice came out from Miala Kafaris and Ben Shnakron. How could he enter into the Beis HaMikdash? He's a Tamei Meis all the time. So the Bali Atesis on Chumash asked that Kashin. They work on that Kashin. Remember, someone mentioned it to Rav Soloveitchik. So he said, just like this, I don't know if he worked on this for years, he said right away, he said, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. But the Gemara poses a question. The Gemara says, an Apikoris, that's one of the Tanoim. Apikoris, that's one of the Tanoim. The Rabbanu Shalom buried Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayikparosa Bagai. Moshe Rabbeinu was rewarded because he was metapel in the Kvur of Yosef. So he was rewarded that the Rabbanu Shalom took care of his Kvur, Mida Kenegan Mida. So the Apikoris asks one of the Tanoim, but the Rabbanu Shalom is a Koyin. What does that mean as a Kohen? Because it says, V'yikcha li'truma. So you see, Kohanim take truma. He said, I got it. V'yikcha li'truma means take donations for the Beis Amik. It doesn't mean that it's a truma. It's an ishkin Kohen. That's what he asked. The Rabbanu Shalom is a Kohen, and the Kohen is not supposed to be Tomei Lameis. So how did the Rabbanu Shalom retire himself after he was...
He buried Moshe.
After he buried Moshe. How was he retire himself? So the answer is, the Rabbanu Shalom went to a mikveh. So they said, no, there's a pasuk where is it? In Yeshaya, Nabi. Mimodad b'shalomai. The Rabbanu Shalom doesn't have a body, and he's so great, he's infinite. So there's no way that the Rabbanu Shalom can fit into any body of water. So that's what the Apikoris asked the Rabbanu Shalom, asked the Tana. So the Tana answers, the pasuk says, in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, when they won the war against the Midyanim by Mechemes Midyan. So they had all a tray for pots and pans. So they had a kasha, all of them. So it says, whatever, if they had a tray for pot that they cooked tray for soup in, so you have to do hagola. If they had a tray for broiler that they broiled steaks on, so you have to do libo. So the pasuk says, kol davar sheyava ba'esh, tavir ba'esh. Kol davar shelo yava ba'esh, tavir ba'mayim. So tavir ba'mayim is easier. To do hagola is easier. And more difficult, sometimes you need dafke libun. If you do libun on anything, that's wonderful. But there are many kem, you don't need libun tavir ba'mayim. So the Tana answers that because the whole Gemara is a pella. The whole thing is a chida stuma. So the Tana answers that because everything is right. The Rabban Shalom is a kohen, and after he buried Moshe Rabbeinu, he had to be metayer himself. And he can't be metayer himself in water. There's no body of water big enough to contain. The Rabban Shalom is infinite, but the Rabban Shalom is an eish eichlahu. So mayim is bimkoy meish, but if you have eish, it's better. The whole thing, the pasuk is talking about treifas. Kashering a treifa pot is not talking about tumah v'tar. That's what the Tana answered the Apikurks. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's a straight answer. It's not a leitzonis. That's a straight answer. So he said that when there was Amud Ha'esh in front of the Mishkan, now Amud Ha'an and Amud Ha'esh. So he said when Moshe Rabbeinu went into the Mishkan, he walked through the Amud Ha'esh every time, and that was Matayr him. So they yes, Rav Soloveitchik, but he's a tful yom. And you need hazor shlishi shvi. What do you mean? So he said, you only need hazor shlishi shvi if you're going to a mikveh. Then you need paradum hazor shlishi shvi, then you're tovel in a mikveh. If you have eish, then you don't need hazor shlishi shvi, and then you don't need the hairef shemesh. I don't know. I don't think that's the answer. Balei Ateis don't give that answer. I don't remember.
What's the story of a guy who and he jumped into the fire, there was a guy at the fire, but he didn't require to
That's what Rav Soloveitchik interpreted on that Gemara. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in the first parak, says that when they were killing the Asara Harugi Malchus, so one of the executioners asked the Tana if I'll make the fire higher and you won't suffer so long, will you see to it that I go to Gan Eden? Not to kill him at all, so don't kill him. If he won't kill the Tana at all, so the others will kill the executioner. He's more of a Malchus. So he said, but if I'll make your burden lighter, and if I'll kill you faster, you won't have to suffer so long, will I go to Olam Haba? So he said, yeah, you go to Olam Haba. So he hastened the execution, and he died faster. So then the Gemara says that he killed himself and he jumped into the fire. So Bistosis says he was mal himself. The guy was mal himself, he was mizgaya. So what do you mean? Mila alone is not enough to become a ger. You have to be toivel on a mikveh. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said on that. I got it there. When he jumped into the fire, that was tefillah ba'esh. There's tefillah ba'mayim and tefillah ba'esh. So tefillah ba'mayim is for normal people. Tefillah ba'esh is a higher level of tefillah. That's even better. I don't know what any of this means. I don't know.
Pella Nikim.
Kibri Tzadikim Eina Mitamim, yeah.
Because when you have the Neshama leaves the body because it encompasses, but you have a Tzadik Gomer, everything about him will move on. So there's never Tami then.
That's an interpretation, but the simple pshat kivei tzadikim eina metami means something else. What it means is that a kohen is not permitted to be metami to a meis unless it's one of the seven relatives, or if it's a meis mitzvah. So what's the definition of a meis mitzvah? If there's no one there to take care of him, what if there are plenty of people to take care, but it's still not the kovadik for the meis? It's only this person is so important. He's the rosh haSanhedrin, the nasi shemeis. So the Gemara has a lashon. Nasi Shemes, Hakol Kroivov. Everybody is a Korov. Hakol Kroivov, Salka Daitach. It's not true. Ela Hakol Kikroivov. Just like a Kohen is Matami to Kroivim. So if the Nasi dies, you have the whole Chevy Kaddisha, 20 people, they're all burying him, but that's still a Bizoyan. For the Nasi, you have to have all of Klal Yisrael. So the din is even the Kohanim are Matami when the Nasi dies. The Rav Chaim Kohen was a Talmud of the Rabbi Natam. So he said, he lived out of town. So he said, if I would have been there, after he learned by Rabbi Natam, he moved out of town. So he said, if I would have been there the day Rabbi Natam died and they buried him, I would have been Metame, because that's the din. that if it's a very outstanding Talmud Chacham, so it's covered on makes that everybody has to participate, even the Kohanim. So it's usually assumed that's the Pashup Shat. Give it Tzadik, Meinu Metame, does mean they're not Metame. It means the prohibition of Tumah doesn't apply to Kohanim. Kohanim are normally not allowed to be Metame L'Mesim, unless it's a big Tzadik who died, so then Kvod V'Shalat Tzadik is that everyone should participate.
Before Matan Torah, there was a Din Tumah Tahara.
There's a discussion whether that's so. What about?
It was Mas Asik Bekurish Yonosei, but it was before Matan Torah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the question whether the Jewish Mason could have Matan Torah Ametami or not. There's a discussion. The Taisus and Nazir has a discussion about that. What about a Jewish Mason could have Matan Torah? What?
That's a shame, because why should they bring a cup when they were carrying the ring?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was after Matan Torah. Yeah. That was after Matan Torah. No. That was the next year. The second year. That was after Matan Torah. Yeah. Matan Torah was 7 weeks after Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the next year, the Pesach Midbar, there was the Asik.
How many did they have? How many Pesach
Midbar?
They only had one.
One. Pesach Mitzrayim. Then they had one Pesach Midbar. That was all. Yeah. I don't think so. There's a din of tumah ritzutzo. If you have a mace in a room and you lock up the whole room, normally if you have a mace lying on the ground like this, like Yoshke, so the tumah's oila adlerakia only connected the body. But if you have him in a coffin that's sealed all around, the tumor is spread out ad l'rakia, connected the whole rectangular shape of the coffin. That's called tumor etzutzo. The tumor goes up, connected hakol.
What if the tefach is totally closed and there's a tefach over the body?
So if there's a tefach between the top of the body and the bottom of the lid, then the Gemara says chaytzis b'fnei ha-tumah. So that's only if there's an opening on the side. But if there's no opening on the side, then it makes it worse. Then the fact that there's a tefach above makes it that the tumah goes connected the whole rectangular shape of the coffin. Yeah, it goes up. Yeah, goes up ad l'rakia. Doesn't go into the rakia. Goes up ad l'rakia. That's the shalach. How can kohanim travel in airplanes? Wherever you go, let's say you go from here to Eretz Yisrael, you go for hours and hours over dead bodies. There's always going to be dead bodies in the course of the way. So Kozman, you're above the clouds, there's no problem. Because the tumah goes adlerakia, and Taisa says once you're in the cloud, that's called barakia. That's barakia. It's not bashamayim. Shamayim is the heavens. And the rakia is the sky. So the tumah goes up until the sky, and the sky is considered where the clouds are. The shaila is, when you leave Kennedy Airport, all the Jewish cemeteries surround Kennedy Airport on three sides. And then you're going above the cemeteries below the clouds. It didn't have a chance to go up above the clouds. So that's a serious issue. That's a discussion and the recent
Svar. The bodies that are in the cargo?
That's a very serious discussion. That's for sure a serious discussion. Yeah. So now the Gemara is bothered with a question on the top line. The Mishnah says that Moshe Rabbeinu took care of the burial of Yosef HaTzadik, and therefore he was rewarded that the Rabbeinu Shlom took care of his burial. Craig Dingmar, the Eloi Esek Bei Moshe. And if Moshe would not have taken care of it, Yisrael have him Esek Bei. What, the Klal Yisrael had some tainus against Yosef? They wouldn't have buried him. Not true, they had no tainus. But Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Yoshua, Vesatzmas Yosef, it says that after Moshe Rabbeinu died, the rest of Klal Yisrael continued to take care of the Gvura of Moshe Rabbeinu. So you see, they had no tarumas against Yosef. They would have buried Yosef with or without Moshe Rabbeinu. So what do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu is given the credit for taking care of the Gvura of Yosef. Everyone would have taken care of it. The Sioux, and even if the Klal Yisrael wouldn't have done, Yosef HaTzadik had children, he had grandchildren, he had descendants. Why didn't the children take care of his suit? Elo Yeske Bei Yisrael, and even if Klal Yisrael would not have been metapel, which they were, after Moshe Rabbeinu died, then they were metapel. So even if Klal Yisrael wouldn't have Bonav Lahavim Misaske Bei, his children wouldn't bury him. why the children had subtainers. Sometimes the children don't, they hate the father. They don't get, they didn't hate Yosef. They were very mechabed him. Vaksiv, the pasuk says they got along. Vayihu lebnei Yosef lenachla. What does it mean? Vayihu lebnei Yosef lenachla. He had a lot of children, and they buried him nearby, I think. They wanted Yosef HaTzadik to be buried in their area.
Were they still alive?
The descendants, but as means the great grandchildren.
Oh, grandchildren.
Yeah, and they were very honored by the fact that they were descendants of Yosef, and they had his body. Kevi Yosef is in the Chelka Shal Yosef over there. They wanted. They did get along. So what do you mean? The credit is given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody else would have been happy to bury him, and for the Gemara Omru, they thought to themselves, Hanichu lo, let Moshe Rabbeinu, let Klal Yisrael do it. Let Moshe Rabbeinu do it. Kvoda b'berubim Yosef b'mivuatim. The descendants of Yosef said, "It's more b'kavod the kavod of Klal Yisrael take care of it, rather than just the Einaklav take care. You're going to show that all of Klal Yisrael." Then v'su amru, and then they said another step. Hanichal let Moshe Rabbeinu do it. Kvoda b'gdolim Yosef b'ktanim. It's more b'kavod that Yosef had tzaddik, his kvoda should be taken care of by Moshe Rabbeinu, as opposed to less important individuals. Ktanim doesn't mean young children before bar mitzvah. Means less important individuals. Then the pasuk continues in Sefer Yeshua. So it says he was Yosef was the body was brought to Eretz Yisrael. That's the pasuk in Yeshua that was quoted a few lines earlier. So the Gemara wants to know why did they decide to bury? Why is Kevin Yosef in Shechem? Maishna b'Shechem? Why dafke there? So the Gemara gives a whole understanding. Amar Chamar b'Chanina. Mishchem ganvuhu uleshchem nachzer avidosa. The father sent Yosef. Veishlacheihu miyemek Chevron. Yaakov Avinu lived in Chevron. So they sent Yosef to go look for the brothers to see what's doing. And then in Shechem, he was looking in Shechem. So that's where they kidnapped him and they sold them to Mitzrayim. So since Mishchem ganvuhu, so we should return him back. The last place he was in Eretz Yisrael was in Shechem, so they're going to replace him where he came from. Then in more comments, there seems to be a contradiction between the two psukim. Who took care of the kvura of Moshe Rabbeinu? Kavshe kroi adodi. That's what he said before. Sib on the one hand, vekach Moshe satzmas yasirima. The pasuk gives credit to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Mishnah gives the full credit to Moshe Rabbeinu. Then the pasuk says vasatzmas yasirima shehelu bnei Yisrael miaretz Mitzrayim. The pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua says that Klal Yisrael took care of it. So the answer is that after Moshe Rabbeinu died, then Klal Yisrael took care. But it says in Yeshua, it sounds as if they did the whole thing. They didn't do the whole thing. All 40 years Moshe Rabbeinu was schlepping. They took care the last month, the last couple of weeks they took care. So why does the pasuk in Yeshua give them the whole credit? And for the Gemara, Amar Rav Chama v'Chanina, if you start a mitzvah, you didn't complete it. The Gemara, another person comes and he finishes the mitzvah. We consider the one mitzvah. It's considered as if the one who completed it gets the whole reward.
Right.
The next Gemara says that if a person begins to do a Dvar Mitzvah and doesn't finish it, then he's going to be punished. So Rashi Efek Takasha says, how come Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't punished? So he says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu was an anus. We have no tainus against him. But Lamai said, bottom line, he didn't finish the Mitzvah. So that's why it's Nikris Al Shein Gomer, the Bnei Yisrael did it. But if a person starts a Mitzvah and has Becholta to complete it, and he doesn't bother to, then not only doesn't he get the credit, he's going to be punished. So there are two levels of punishment. Then the Gemara says, Lazer Aymer, a person who starts a mitzvah and has the yecholus to finish and doesn't, is Marina Moshe Migdolosoi. Whatever cover he had before, he'll lose. Moshe Rabbeinu was honest, so he didn't lose. But Yehuda lost that. He lost the cover that all the brothers looked at him. He was the leader. He lost it. Why? Because he said, Lo malakeno nefesh. Let's not. How did he say? They said, let's not kill a brother. They were going to listen to whatever he said. So instead of fearing ice, let's bring him back to the father. He let the other brothers take over, and then they sold him as an eved to Mitzrayim. So he started the mitzvah Hatzolas Yosef. He should have finished, and he didn't. So that's Vayered Yehuda Meyesechav. He lost his covenant and his gedula. Then the Gemara continues, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar, he was punished, not just he lost the Gedula punishment, he was punished, his wife and his children died. Dichsiv, Vatamas Bashua Eishes Yehuda, and then Vayomas Eviyana, the two sons died. The Gemara attributes the death of the wife and the children to the fact that Yehuda was Misrashel, he started a mitzvah and he didn't complete it. He should have finished the mitzvah. So Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu is not faulted because he was an honest, he had no brera. Okay. Maybe we'll stop here. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah talks about Tkiyo Shofar on two different occasions. And the Mishnah says, you blow Shofar every year on Rosh Hashanah, and you blow Shofar on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, every 50th year. When the Bezin declares it is Yovel, so there's a mitzvah to blow Shofar on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. So the Mishnah says, Shavah HaYovel, the Rosh Hashanah, Litkiyah v'Lebrachas. You blow Shofar exactly the same, on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, and you daven Malchus Achonis and Shofars. The Gemara knows it out from Psukim. Rabban holds that everything is an Asmachta, but the Mishnah says that it's the same. The blowing of Shofar is the same. So you look in the Rambam.
The blow Shofar in
that's another din. Skaita Machatzaitzis. Yeah. Chesavim Muhammad Beyatzachem. You have to blow chatzitzit. That's another din, yeah. But here, on a regular basis, every Yom Kippur Shel Yovel is a mitzvah to blow shofar, and Rosh Hashanah is a mitzvah to blow shofar. So you look in the Rambam has a shinui lashon, both in the Sefer HaMitzvos, as well as in the Yarach HaZaka, when he spells out the dinim. By Rosh Hashanah, the Rambam says, it's a mitzvah to hear tkiyah shofar. By Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, he says, it's a mitzvah to blow. So there's a Tshuvas HaRambam where the Rambam writes, how do I know that on Rosh Hashanah it's a mitzvah to hear? Maybe it's a mitzvah to blow. So he says, no, we have an institution that a Bal Tekeh blow shofar and everybody listens. It's a mitzvah to blow. Everybody should have to blow his own shofar. So the fact that you have an institution of a Bal Tekeh who blows and everybody else is Yotzei, you say Shamei Kaina. So you see it's a mitzvah to listen to Tekeh. It's not a mitzvah to blow.
Lishmoa.
So the Achrayim ask, you mean, but the Rambam himself says by Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, it's a mitzvah to blow shofar. He doesn't say it's a mitzvah to listen. I think they quote the Maram al Shaka.
That's a bezdin. No, that's bezdin in Kippur.
So the brachas would be different. The brachas would be different for Yovel and for the.
Could be, it could be. On Rosh Hashanah, we say the Shmaya Kol Shofar. On Yom Kippur, maybe it's Liskoya. And according to the Rambam, that Shuva, it sounds as if on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, I don't know how to blow Shofar. I imagine most people don't know how to blow Shofar. We all rely on the Bal Tekeh. So if we should live so long to be Zeichet to Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, you have to learn, you have to learn Zechais how to blow Shofar. According to the Rambam, you're not Yotzei with Shemaya Koina. What is the Rambam driving at? Very strange. What is Rambam driving at? So there's an interesting tshuva in Avnei Nezer. All of his tshuvas are very fascinating. So he has one letter that he sent to his brother. The brother claims that he heard from the father. The father was also a big Talmid Chacham, very big Talmid Chacham, also a Chassidish Rebbe. So that he heard from the father that the Bal Tekeh blow shofar and Rosh Hashanah, everybody's Yotzei based on Shomei Koina. So the Avnei Nezer says he doesn't believe that the father said it. It doesn't make any sense. Shamea Ka'ina is only if the person is saying words. He's saying Kiddush, he's saying Havdalah. He's saying words. He's reading the Megillah. Shamea, pay attention to the words. There's communication, there's content. So Shamea Ka'ina is if I said it. But Kiyah Shofar is a mitzvah to make noise. So why do you have to have so many people clap haman? Have one person clap on, have a mind to be moitzi. Everybody said, well, we'll be yotzei, making the noise. So the Avnei Nezer says, when there's a mitzvah to make a racket, mitzvah to make noise, you don't say Shemei Koina, only when there are words. So he says, Tkiyah Shofar is just making noise. So you can't say Shemei Koina. So how is anybody yotzei with the Bal Tekeh? So he says it must be based on shlichus. Shlichus doesn't work in mitzvah, so he negotiates. He figures out a teretz. Then he has a later letter, the tshuva right after that, the next tshuva. He writes a couple of weeks later, he backed out, he thinks the brother is right, the father must have said that, because that's a simple reading in the sugya in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara puts it together. The Bal Tekeh blow shofar and everybody listens, put together with Saint Kiddush, and everybody's yotzei with the Kiddush. The Gemara seems to say that it is based on Shemei Koina. So he backed out. There was blight with his anoche, that he said, that you don't say Shemei Kaina if there's no words, if there's no content, there's no communication. So the Velt says that Ki Yoshefer Rosh Hashanah is a chelik of the tefillah. We're enhancing, like, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of everything from A to Z, but we don't even know how to spell out all of our needs. Like we said, we have so many things that we need and we don't even know how to express all of the tzarachim that we have. So we blow shofar, that's a tefillah without any words. So the shofar also has content. You're not saying any words, but you're implying, please take care of everything else. You know better than we do what we really need, so please take care of it. So it's also, there's also a theme. So it could be that that's what the Rambam is talking about. Maybe the Rambam means on Rosh Hashanah it's a mitzvah shmiya as opposed to tkiya. Maybe it means it's a mitzvah shmiya, means there's a content here, there's a meaning to it. It's not a mitzvah to make a noise. So he says it's shaykh to say shamei ha'kaina as opposed to Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. The Rambam says the mitzvah is to make noise, mitzvah shiluach avodim. The tkiya shofar is a simon to shiluach avodim. The Gemara says if they didn't blow shofar, it's ma'akev. If no one blew shofar on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, the avodim don't go free. It's like people blow horns on New Year's Eve. No, they're not saying any content, they're just making noise, making a racket. So on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, we're supposed to make noise as a simon to shiluach avodim. So it could be that that's what the Rambam would say. It's very unclear. It could be that's what the Rambam would say. On Rosh Hashanah, we allow Shemei Koine because the mitzvah Shmiya. What do you mean Shmiya? Shmiya means there is content there. There are no words, but we're implying something. As opposed to Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, that's Taka mitzvah just to make noise. And when you make noise, then you don't apply Shemei Koine. That's what it sounds like. If you put together the Tshuvas HaRambam with the way the Rambam distinguishes that on Rosh Hashanah is a mitzvah of Shmiya and Yom Kippur Shal Yovel is a mitzvah of Tkiya, and the Rambam says if it's a mitzvah of Tkiya you don't say Shemei Kaina, then it seems that in Yom Kippur Shal Yovel everyone who is near the Bezim, Bifnei Bezim, Isman Bezim, it's in conjunction with the Bezim. The main mitzvah is on the Bezdin on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, and everyone who is at the same time as the Bezdin, the presence of the Bezdin, has to blow Shayfa. Achidish.